Hi, I'm Joe.
And I'm Tiana.
And this is Next Door Villain,
a podcast where we uncover the villains to discover their humanity. Hey, Puddin'. What's crack-a-lackin'?
Oh, I'll be honest. It was uncomfortable on a couple levels for to hear you refer to me as Puddin'.
I just wanted to get into the spirit of Harley Quinn.
Yes. So yeah, if you're listening, we are talking today about Harley Quinn from the Batman series, the comics, films, animated. Batman's been all over the place.
Yeah, Harley Quinn. She's fun. She's colorful. She's chaotic. She's my Puddin'. But she is attached to Mr. J.
If you don't know, Puddin' is kind of the quote-unquote affectionate term she uses to describe her love interest, the Joker, in a lot of the series. Yeah. And if you've been listening to our podcast for a while, you may know we did a mini episode on Harley Quinn a couple of years ago. But we thought that she warranted a full episode because she is a really interesting character. And also, since we released that episode, she's had her own movie, Birds of Prey, and actually multiple other film appearances, well, at least one other film appearance in the new Suicide Squad, and her own animated series. So she's, what did the kids say, blowing up right now?
Yeah, blowing up, Puddin'.
You're really committed to this Puddin'.
I am. I can't really do her accent.
What is her accent, by the way?
Yeah, it's like a mix of Midwestern and New Yorker.
It's like
at the same
Midwestern
time.
Jewish New Yorker, all exaggerated at the same time.
Yeah. Oh, Puddin'. Don't you know? Aren't you my Puddin'? No, she doesn't sound like that. But that was strictly Midwestern, which is really the only accent I know how to do because I am from and in South Dakota right now.
Fun.
Fun fact. Wish I would be in Gotham, though. Be a lot more interesting than Corn.
Perhaps more interesting, but certainly fraught with... I mean, Gotham is a city that's got some issues to work out. Aside from all of the villains that it seems to harbor and the mafia and whatnot, the socio-political environment is terrible. There's a vigilante rich bat dude running around town working with the police.
And they're paying him even though he's already worth billions. And he's like, I'm going to have a bat cave.
Yeah. Lots of bad stuff going on. But before we dive too far into it, we have to do our 30-second intro challenge where we do our best to describe the character in 30 seconds with no preparation. And fun new fact this week, there's a new feature on Spotify where you can go in and vote to let us know who does a better job describing the character. It's kind of a little fun competition we have with absolutely no stakes and one that I pretty much always lose. But yeah.
We could have some stakes. Oh, have you been watching Squid Game?
No, I haven't, oh. But I've heard of it. Are the stakes going to be death?
Sure. No, that might be a little too far. Yeah. We could do something a little lighter than death.
Yeah. You know what? If you're listening and you'd like to propose something for the loser to have to do, let us know. Send us an email or Twitter or Instagram, all those things. Let us know what the loser of these 30-second intro challenges should have to do each week.
I also have an idea.
Oh, okay. Go for it.
The loser has to run around a building in public saying, put in, and I don't know. They could be acting like they're chasing the Joker, like, Mr. J, you're my Puddin', come back, I love you, where'd you go? And just act like a sad, desperate, but also chaotic Harley Quinn in public.
First of all, I love the image. I love where your head's at. It's hard to imagine a scenario where I do that.
Hey, if you believe, you can achieve.
I'm not sure I believe. Anyway, let's get this thing out of the way.
Okay, yeah.
Listeners, go vote on Spotify or message us and let us know what the loser should have to do. I'll let you choose. Would you like to start or Should I start?
You can go.
All right. Okay.
3, 2, 1, go.
Harley Quinn is a character in the DC Universe. She was introduced in the early 90s. Her name is a play on the term Harlequin, which I believe was originally like a jester type character in ancient theater. And her character basically is a psychologist who falls in love with her patient, and in that process kind of goes crazy and becomes this pseudo villain sidekick to the Joker, who is just a really fun, interesting character.
Joker, fun and interesting.
No. Harley Quinn. Harley Quinn is fun and interesting.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
The Joker is abusive and terrible.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. We'll get into that.
All right. Are you ready? 3, 2, 1, go.
All right. So Harley Quinn was a psychiatrist at Arkham Asylum, and she jumped into some chemicals in order to prove her love to the Joker. She then became like pretty chaotic and just let loose, and she does a lot for the Joker. She fights Batman. When the Joker doesn't feel like it, she chases him around and really will do anything for him. But of course, she goes through some character development. They break up sometimes and she hangs out with Poison Ivy, and she just has a really interesting, chaotic life.
That was really good. I think we both did fairly well.
Yeah.
Some of our best challenges.
If we tie, we both have to do the punishment.
Yeah.
So we better not do too well.
Yeah. So Harley Quinn, just a little more detail on backstory for her, and something that I found interesting was she first appeared in 1992 in the animated series. The episode was called Joker's Favor, which was interesting to me because in my mind, Harley Quinn is like a character that's just always been there. Maybe that's because of my age, because she literally has always been there as long as I've been alive.
Yeah.
Actually, there was about 6 months where I was alive that Harley Quinn had not been created yet.
And you remember that fondly, and how your heart had a hole in it for those 6 months without her.
And then it was filled when, I don't know the guy's name when he wrote. I'm sure it was a guy.
Yeah.
Who wrote Harley Quinn. But it's interesting because, I mean, Batman was first debuted in 1939, so that's over 60 years of Batman before Harley Quinn even enters the lexicon, and yet I think she's made such a huge impact on that universe. I think she's a really interesting character that a lot of people have really latched onto, and she's done that in such a short period of time. But also interesting to know all this backstory we know about Harley Quinn. The fact that she was a psychologist, her name was Dr. Harlene Quinn, who fell in love with the Joker, who Quinzel. Was her patient. Harlene Quinzel. Yes. Thank you. She falls in love with her patient. Basically, the short of the story, they break out of Arkham Asylum together, and she jumps into the vat of chemicals to prove her love, like you said in your intro. And then a bunch of hijinks after that. But when the character was originally created, she really didn't have any sort of backstory, and there was no thought put into it from what I read. Basically, they just threw in this interesting character to be something that the Joker, just something to add character to the Joker. And then the rest of the flavor of her character was added over the years as people started to be interested in her and wanted to write more for her.
Yeah. And I think people get really interested in Harley because it's interesting to watch someone who has their life together, who is a successful psychiatrist, who becomes a well-known or very good psychiatrist in Arkham Asylum, has their dream job, and then just watch them choose the chaotic life. They leave everything else behind and that stability to just become chaos.
Mm-hmm.
And that is so fascinating.
Yeah. One thing I wonder, and maybe you can provide some insight on this that I don't see very well. I don't feel like it was ever really clear why Harley Quinn would fall for the Joker and why she would ultimately leave her life behind for him. I don't know that the Batman series, and I haven't read every comic and watched every show.
Oh, yeah. It'd be overwhelming as heck because there are lots of comics. But
why do you think, like, what would you guess would cause someone to do that?
I did read one of the comics. It was Batman: Harley Quinn, published in 2015. And in one of the stories in there, she explains that she grew up in a very, very chaotic household, and she was the first in her family to go to college. And she decided to be a good student, a good person, a stable human in order to escape the chaos. But she felt that she was put into kind of a box, and that she was really restricting her true self, and she was restricting who she was. I think she got intrigued with the Joker because he just embraced himself and he let go.
Mm-hmm.
And he became chaotic and he was free.
He offered her a route.
Yes.
Out of the strict, boring life, the strict, safe, secure life that she created, into something that was familiar to her.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe more aligned with what she wanted to get out of the world.
Yes. And more aligned with who she is, because she is chaos in a way. She is crime. She is the person who splats color when she's beating people up. She is that person. And then finally, she could be free. And she talks a lot about how we use all these different types of quote unquote drugs to distract us in daily life, like buying things, consuming entertainment, drinking alcohol, random things to kind of get through the boringness of life. But she thinks that those drugs, though, are just distracting us from being truly free. And so her idea of promoting anarchy and doing crazy things is helping her just be free. And then she doesn't participate in the joke of life.
Yeah, I like this interpretation of her for one reason, and I think I raised some caution flags for some other thoughts about it. But I like the idea that her interest in the Joker is not merely about this like obsessive love, because I think that's kind of an overdone female stereotype. But
yeah,
if it's about more than that, if it's about a route out of a life that she's trapped in to become more of herself, and the Joker is almost a side consequence of her being able to do that.
Yeah.
That I think is interesting. The whole drug thing, I mean, my one like caveat I want to add on to that is that there are a lot of like legitimate, like real useful drugs that people need in order to succeed and do well in life. Like sometimes drugs are necessary and appropriate. They're not necessarily,
yeah,
you know.
But she would say that if you were truly free and if you didn't feel like you had to do the boring parts of life, then you wouldn't need those drugs.
Oh, interesting.
If you were chaotic and if you were free, you would be happy. You wouldn't need those drugs anymore.
Okay. So the drugs like allow us to, like say ADHD medication allows us to act quote unquote normal within society's bounds.
Mm-hmm.
But in a real perfect world, there wouldn't be this normal that you have to conform to. You could just be yourself.
That's right. Because she doesn't conform at all. And she says to Batman, quote unquote, "You, Batman, are always frowning and I never am."
Hmm.
Because I understand that life is a joke and I know what it means to be free.
Mm-hmm.
And I embrace the chaos and all of those other drugs, quote unquote drugs, like drugs can be many things.
Yeah.
The alcohol that you use to get by, the entertainment that you use, the podcasts that you listen to try and get by and distract you from the boring life that you lead. Those are just distractions. Leave them.
Mm-hmm.
Leave them be.
All right. You've won me back over.
And yes, about the Joker, to me, when I was reading the comics, it felt like he was her savior, like her crazy messiah, in a way.
I do think he's kind of referred to in that way a lot, and I think a lot of people see him that way. I'm uncomfortable with it.
Yeah.
And I do think we need to talk about the Joker a little bit, but I don't want to talk about him too much because I don't think he deserves our time, at least not in this episode. Important to mention his relationship with Harley Quinn because of how manipulative and abusive he is to her. It's really uncomfortable and really unfortunate that that's how the development of her character came about, but that's why I love this interpretation you just gave mm-hmm. of her, because it means that he is not, if we read it that way, he is not her savior. He's merely mm-hmm. like a method that she used to get out of the trapped situation that she was in. Unfortunately, that then led to her in some ways being trapped in that relationship a lot.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate.
Yeah. And I would say this interpretation too is pretty clear in the comics too.
Yeah.
So I don't want to say like, oh, I just thought of it.
Yeah. And I think we see Harlequin at her best when she's not with the Joker.
Yeah.
As in Birds of Prey, which is the film that came out a couple years ago about her, which starts right after a breakup with the Joker. And the movie starts out explaining how she was in this relationship and nobody would touch her because they knew that there would be consequences because she was with the Joker. But then, you know, the rest of the movie, she's kind of finding herself on her own. And at the beginning of the film, she's clearly hung up on this past relationship. But I think by the end of it, she has made some like strong, cool female friends. And she has this young woman that she's mentoring. And it's really a movie about her discovering herself on her own, which I just thought was a really cool storyline for her.
For sure. And I really liked Birds of Prey because I was glad to not see the Joker in it because he is an a-hole. And okay, I will mention one thing that I thought was just crazy, like in the comics, just as like an example of how horrible he was to her. In one of the comics in Batman Harley Quinn from 2015, the Joker tries killing her by putting her in a rocket. He says he didn't like the gushy feelings that he got by being around her. He just didn't like being distracted by love and stuff. So he puts her in a rocket and makes the rocket go. Don't know how to talk right now. And the rocket flies off and she actually survives. She teams up with Batman to kind of get back at the Joker. So she beats him up with the Batman as kind of like punishment for trying to kill her. Mm-hmm. And even though she's mad, she runs off with the Joker at the end being like, well, I'm mad at you, but don't do it again. And I'm going to still stay with you, even after he tried killing her.
Yeah, not a good relationship. It's unfortunate and disappointing that that's so often
mm-hmm.
how her character is written. But there are also there are also many good moments in the Harley Quinn story where she's not with the Joker or when she's doing other things that are more interesting than being in a terrible relationship and just being like a stereotyped female sex character. Yeah.
And part of me can kind of understand why she's kept staying with the Joker, because I have been in that situation where you think that your partner, even though they treat you like utter crap, sometimes you think that the good parts still outweigh the crap. And you think that they're going to treat you better next time or later, or they'll get better or they'll change. And maybe even they tell you that. They say, oh, I'm sorry, I'm going to change, blah, blah, blah. But then it's just this cycle of I'm treating you well. I'm treating you like shit. I'm treating you well. I'm treating you like shit. It's, a lot of people get into this rut. And I can totally tell that this is the kind of rut that I think Harley got into.
Yeah, I've definitely been in that relationship as well. And I think a lot of people have to different degrees where you tell yourself the story that they're going to get better, or this was a one-time thing. Or like in my case, the story that I was telling myself was, oh, this argument is a growth opportunity. They're telling me something that I need to hear so that I can be a better person. So you see a lot of these relationships in varying degrees. And I think that is one way that a lot of us can relate to Harlequin. Of course, unfortunately, she's on the like most abusive, difficult end of that spectrum.
And we can tell that Harley, she just takes so much of his shit. She will do everything for him. And you want her to be more independent because you know that she's so badass that she doesn't need this asshole. And so that begs the question, have you ever done things out of character, like for a relationship?
Yes.
Yeah.
and I think you'd be hard pressed to find someone who hasn't, even if they're not willing to admit it. I think a lot of us, and I've been guilty of this many times, especially in the beginning of the relationship when you're in that like excited, giddy period, it's easy to get wrapped up in things that you are not that interested in yourself. For me, it's a lot of times like trying to do activities that are things that I actually don't enjoy. But like I was saying earlier, I tell myself these stories that are like, oh, I didn't enjoy this before because I wasn't doing it with the right person, or I didn't enjoy this before, but now I'm growing and I'm going to be better. And the reason I'm telling myself all these stories is because I want this person to be interested in me, because I have, mm-hmm. I'm having very strong emotional feelings about them. So yeah, I definitely relate to Harley Quinn in that sense. Never been in as bad of a relationship as she's in, but I can relate.
So what kind of activity did you try doing?
Well, it's been all sorts of little things, but for example, like I don't really love big parties, especially if I don't know that many people. But if I was in like the beginning stage of a relationship, I would probably suck it up and go simply to be with that person or because I like that person. Whereas if a friend had asked me to go, I'd be perfectly comfortable just saying, oh, I'm not really interested in that.
Yeah.
But because I'm interested in this person, I convince myself that I need to do that thing, even though I really don't want to.
Yeah. I was in a relationship once where I kind of adapted to his habit of like going out and partying, but more at like bars and stuff. Mm-hmm. And it was like a very constant, like multiple times a week kind of thing, mm-hmm. where I've just kind of become a bit unhinged and started really abusing alcohol at a pretty intense rate. This was quite a few years ago now, so you know, I don't do that anymore. I have a much healthier relationship with alcohol now, and it made me really unhealthy. I remember at the time it made me gain weight. I looked really bad. I would like wake up and like just be hungover the entire day, and in a way I did it because in some ways that relationship was very abusive. So it was also a bit of an escape tactic of just partying and drinking. Yeah, I did not like the year 2015. It's a bad, bad, bad year for me. Did not like it. Bad. Do not like that year. That was a bad year. But that year is over and I'm very happy about that. Mm-hmm. And it's been over for a long time. And I'm in a much better place. I'm not in that relationship anymore. And I don't feel so unhinged, because I would get kind of wild, you know. I don't know. I'd be like walking in the street. I'd be like, I don't know, wreaking havoc in McDonald's. Some interesting Harley Quinn shit going on.
Yeah. This episode has gotten very personal, mostly for you, but mm-hmm. a little bit for me. Talking about past, I mean, I've been less specific about the relationships I've described here so far, but it certainly certainly put me in that like headspace of thinking about some of those situations that were not that pleasant. But I think it really goes to show why she's such a great character, and I think it's easy to ask the question that I asked at the beginning: why would Harley Quinn be with the Joker? It seems crazy at face value, but now that we're like in depth talking about it and talking about relationships and the things that we've done and endured and the stories that we've told ourselves in order to do things that we probably wouldn't have done otherwise, in that context, it starts to make a lot more sense how Harley Quinn would end up with someone like the Joker.
We do crazy things for love. Harley Quinn does crazy things for love.
Or what we think is love.
Right.
What makes us feel good that in that moment.
And you can really tell that Harley has this personality where she really wants to serve and help people. Mm-hmm. I think maybe that's partly why she became a psychiatrist, is because she likes analyzing people and helping them. Mm-hmm. And then she kind of translated that skill of hers and that passion of hers to the Joker. And then just kind of became this server to the Joker and his plans, and helped him fight the Batman, helped him carry out his crime.
Yeah. I wonder if she would even be a villain. Like, there are some villains who like doing bad things and kind of just like have this inherent bad bone in them. I wonder if Harlequin is really a villain. I mean, yes, she does a lot of bad things. She does a lot of villainous things, but I don't know that it's in her nature. In the films and the comics, she's often doing things with good intentions and trying to help people. You seem to have some hesitancy with this thought.
The comics that I read, she definitely killed a good amount of people.
Hmm. Well, yeah. So I don't want to glaze over that. Like in Birds of Prey, she feeds a guy to her hyena.
Oh, I thought the hyena just bit off his penis.
Oh, no. It ate
him.
Yeah, and well, she fed him to the hyena.
Ooh. I thought the hyena just bit off the Johnny.
No, no. And besides the things we see her do in that film, it references a lot of really terrible things she's done to a lot of people. But I also, this is sort of a side comment, really appreciated that about Birds of Prey. Besides all the like sparkly, exciting things and imagery, it didn't treat Harley Quinn like, as we often see the female villain characters portrayed, which I think is a lot more sexual and a lot less violent. Mm-hmm. We saw a Harley Quinn who was both feminine and incredibly aggressive and violent and powerful. And I think that was a cool dynamic to get to see on screen. Especially in contrast to the like previous movies where Margot Robbie has played Harley Quinn, like the Suicide Squad film, where she was very sexualized. And I believe they actually in editing edited her outfit to make it even more sexual. But in Birds of Prey, that wasn't done. She was allowed to be feminine and powerful and violent. And I think that was cool for that film to show those two sides of her together rather than parsing them out.
For sure. And in Birds of Prey, you also see how some of her fighting is actually kind of innocent in a way, where her weapons just kind of punch someone or knock someone out, but it doesn't kill them. She had like a gun that shot, what is that called?
Beanbags.
Yeah. And I was like, yeah, like if I were going to rob a bank, but I didn't, or rob something or get something from someone and do something illegal. Yeah, I'd rather do that weapon so that I don't, you know.
That's giving her a lot of
halt someone's life.
Credit, considering all the murder and harm that we know she does otherwise.
Yeah, she's still complicated.
Yeah, I think she chooses those weapons out of fun more than out of desire to not kill people.
True. And then the colors kind of fly about.
Yeah, she loves the bursts of confetti and the colorful smoke. Mm-hmm. And just having a good time. She loves just like making fun of the situation. And like, I think the villainy is, I guess the point I was getting at earlier with her not being like inherently a villain, I'm not sure if she's inherently good or bad, just that she doesn't really care that much.
Yeah. And that's part of her whole thing.
Yeah.
Of being a clown.
Yeah. Whether or not she does good or bad is just a consequence of like her just trying to do what she wants to do.
Yeah. Because life is a joke, right? Mm-hmm. And she's one of the clowns to laugh about it and show you that.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't matter what she does. It's all funny. Life is funny. And she's going to keep making it more funny by wreaking havoc.
Yeah. And she doesn't have that motivation that a lot of other villains have for power or money or whatever it is. She doesn't really have any of that. She's, from as far as I can tell, fairly poor. She doesn't command an army.
Yeah. And going back to like a thrilling life and just doing things for fun, for the sake of having fun, I sometimes have thought to myself, man, like life is so boring sometimes, you know, like you go to work every day You try to remain a lawful citizen of society. You do different forms of entertainment to make things a little more exciting, but sometimes they don't really do it for you. You could go to a movie. Yeah, might be kind of fun. Have a high for about 2 hours, and then you come home, and then what do? You're full of popcorn, and you have bad digestion. I don't know. But, and so sometimes I too have thought, like, huh, what it would be like if I would just do fun things, because maybe people should have a little more fun in life, like Harley Quinn. Maybe not to her extent, to the extent that she does, but sometimes I think, like, what it'd be like if I just lived on the road or doing crazy pranks or partying or crime or just living life and making it a little more interesting. Would it get old eventually? I don't know, but I know that sometimes a taste of crime can be a little bit thrilling. I have had a taste. I have had some tastes. I have licked it a little bit. Once, when I was in high school, one of my friends dared me in the dark at night, dared me to flash a car on the road. And I did it, and it was very thrilling. The car like had headlights on, and I just like lifted my shirt up and was like, woo, and then I ran away. And it was good. It was fun. I didn't get caught. Well, it was very fast. Some person that I feel sorry for was just driving on the road at night alone, and they saw just a girl flashing them for a second, and she ran away, and they were probably just so confused. But I was like, wow, that was really thrilling and definitely illegal in a way. I mean, probably not too harsh a punishment, but yeah, it was really thrilling.
I definitely envy that side of Harley Quinn a little bit, that unrestricted side, because I am not very unrestricted. I would say that I am typically very measured in my life, yeah, in the things that I choose to do and the way that I conduct myself. Listeners to this podcast may know that about me already, just from the way the way that I talk sometimes. Though I think that I have relaxed a little bit since we first started this podcast. I'm a little freer now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I know.
How so? What are some free things that you've done?
Well, in the beginning of the podcast, I used to write very detailed notes about all the things that I wanted to say. And nowadays, I do a lot of research. I might be maybe write one or two notes down, and then I just kind of see what comes out when we record.
Slowly but surely, you become less restricted. Of course, I was hoping you were going to say an example of like how you do crime now. but nope, I write less notes. I'm less of a perfectionist now, which, hey, is still an achievement. Yeah. It's also an achievement for me.
In my real life over the years, I've gotten better at that. I mean, I didn't realize that I had really bad social anxiety when I was younger. It's something I now know today and that I've gotten a lot better at. So like, I mean, it used to be as late as like college or even after college, I rarely would go to the store by myself.
Oh, wow.
Because I was like so nervous. I don't know why to be shopping on my own. It sounds silly to me now, but I know at the time it like the idea of it really freaked me out.
Yeah.
And that's something like Harley Quinn, that would never freak her out. In Birds of Prey, she goes shopping, throws everything in the cart, and then just runs out the door.
Right. She steals it all.
Yeah. I would have probably a heart attack if I accidentally stole an item.
Oh, that's actually happened to me before too. Yeah, I felt so bad. I didn't mean to.
But I guess if it was a small item, it wouldn't be that big of a deal if it was cheap. But if I accidentally walked out with something expensive, I'd probably bring it back. But if I didn't bring it back, I would probably sit at home for like weeks worrying like when the police are going to show up and take me.
Right. The thief siren at stores will go off like beep, beep, mm-hmm. beep. And I'd probably like cry or something. Let me see your receipt. Okay.
I mean, that's most of, I guess, the big points on Harley Quinn. I really empathized with her a lot. Another like interesting story element is she does have a lot of these stories where she has these strong female friends, Poison Ivy in particular. They're roomies for a while, possibly love interests. And yeah. I haven't read all the comics or anything, but my understanding is that there are some where they are perhaps strongly insinuated love interests, but a lot of times they seem to have this really close friendship. Poison Ivy perhaps even gave Harley Quinn some powers, like the ability to not get poisoned. So I thought that was cool that she made a friend.
Yeah, friendship's dope. Yeah. It's not her main motivation for becoming Harley Quinn, but in the comic, she said that when she was a psychiatrist in Arkham Asylum, she recognized that you can't help the villains in Arkham Asylum without becoming them and without knowing their pain. And this really caught my eye because it fits well with the theme of our podcast.
That's like kind of like what we're doing, what we're trying to do.
Yeah. And she mentioned how like a bunch of other psychiatrists in Arkham Asylum could not get through to these villains. They couldn't get through to the Joker. They couldn't get through to all of these quote unquote crazy people in Gotham City. And she tried as a psychiatrist and she couldn't get through to them. And then she fell in love with the Joker, and it all goes on from there. Yeah.
So she still didn't get through to them.
Right. She still didn't get through to them because she kind of took it a little too far in just becoming them, and then she ended up having different goals. But she mentions that. She mentions that we can't really, really understand them without becoming them. And then I thought to myself, oh, does that mean Joe and I should become villains? And then I thought, well, maybe. We could be our own villains in everyday life. We can interpret that in many ways. Way number one, we can be villainous in causing a disturbance in public by running around a building and flapping our hands and being like, put in, Mr. J.
It seems like you really want to do this.
I just want to see you do it.
I just want to say, if you want to do it, go for it. No one, well, someone's going to stop you probably if they see you, but I'm not going to stop you.
Sometimes people don't. Sometimes people don't really want to be involved.
Depends what building you run around.
Yeah, that too. When I was in high school, we had to do this sociology assignment where we had to do something against the norm or outside of the norm in public.
Oh, yeah.
And note what people's responses were. And so I went to Dunham Sporting Goods and I crawled on the floor for about 30 minutes. It was very cold. And it was interesting how I think people, they always seem to give you the benefit of the doubt. So even though you're doing something strange, they just kind of interact with you like normally sometimes, or they just kind of ignore you and they don't even really question it. I think they just think I don't really know what they think, but people don't really care, or they're thinking too much about themselves anyway, or they just don't really want to be involved. So they don't really make a stink out of it. For context, I was in South Dakota, so that's a little different, the culture, right? If I did that in like New York City, I'm sure like someone would make fun of me or something, but
probably kick you.
Yeah. So we can be our own villains. Let's do that.
All right. I'll think about it. Think about ways that I can be villainous in my life without hurting anyone.
Yeah. And in some ways, we do it without even thinking. Yeah. We're already villains.
Yeah. We're going to end today with a literary piece written by one of our listeners. Her name is Marie Bélanger. I hope I'm saying that right. If not, in the snippet of audio, I let her introduce herself so we can make sure that her name is said appropriately. And she's a UX designer, multidisciplinary artist, and a French Canadian. And you can find her YouTube channel at Marie B and her Instagram at marie.b.creature. And we'll put that all in the show notes so that it's easy to access. Anyways, she's written a literary piece and she's just going to read a snippet of it. You can find the full thing on our website at nextdoorvillain.com. And it's a series of journal entries written by Dr. Harleen Quinzel as she is beginning to introduce herself to the Joker. So without further ado, here is Marie.
Hi, my name is, if you want to say it properly, is Marie Bélanger. But I will accept a more Anglophone way to say it. So Mary Bélanger is okay too. So here's my excerpt from a text about Harley Quinn. Here it is. Dr. Quinn's log number 15, December 25th. Mr. Joker really surprised me today. He told me that usually either his psychiatrist quits after a few meetings or when they stay, he start to develop sadistic thoughts about them. Already knew that, of course, through his files. Even gouged out the eye of one of them with a pen. But I am happily surprised that he'd confess it. He also gave me a small present that was not some feces or human ear, saying it was a first. That I must be his lucky shrink. The present was two deck cards, two jokers, but he had drawn on one of them to make it more feminine, in a black and red costume and blonde hair like mine. He called me his Harley Quinn, doing a wordplay with my name. I must confess, I am touched.
If you're listening on Spotify, you can go vote for who did a better job at the 30-second intro challenge and let us know what you would like to see the loser do.
Yeah. And rate us on Apple Podcasts, please. Follow us on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter. It's @NextDoorVillain. Actually, TikTok is @NextDoorVillainPodcast. Email us at nextdoorvillain@gmail.com.
And if you're enjoying the show, let your friends know about it.
Yes.
Word of mouth, old-fashioned advertising.
True. Or just post us on your Instagram story. That works too.
Yeah.
All right, Puddin'.
Oh,
time to go. Right. Bye-bye.
Bye.